Hey, it's Steve Imke. In the summer of 2017, I had the opportunity to spend a few hours with a class full of business entrepreneurs that wanted to learn how to conduct strategic planning for their business using the Business Model Canvas. I'm sorry you didn't make it, and I hope this is the next best thing. Here are excerpts from this live event. Hope you enjoy it and find it informative. But even more important, I hope it inspires you to get off the couch and do something with it. Thanks for listening. Thank you. Good morning. So what we're going to do here, principally, is we're going to talk a little bit about what we call the nine core blocks of the Business Model Canvas. Anybody who's done any kind of research is probably pretty familiar with those. But we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the external forces that kind of go in there. So before we kind of dig in there, I just give you about a 30-second thumbnail of who I am. So I was not your sharpest student through high school. My dad gave me two options in life, basically told me I was either going to go into the armed services or I was going to go to college, since I really wasn't a very studious type of a person. I opted to go the service route. I did a couple tours of the United States Coast Guard. I was an electronics technician. And during that time, went home to visit my parents, and I ran into an old boss. I used to work for a computer company when I was in high school. He asked me what I was doing. I told him I was at the end of an enlistment, but I was going to make Coast Guard my career. He said, why don't you come out on Christmas time? This was a Thanksgiving walk off your Thanksgiving dinner kind of a meal. So come out and visit your parents at Christmas time and come out for an interview. And we just, you know, use it as a boondoggle trip just to kind of come out here. Well, quite frankly, I was impressed with that, going back to work for that same company I worked for when I was in high school. I worked for them. I started out as a course developer. I ultimately became a unit manager with them, a cost center manager, a site manager, and then the company fell on hard times. So as I was sitting there having to lay off people every month, I told my wife, I said, I feel I'm underemployed. And at that point, I began to think about things like side hustles. And so I became an invisible fencing dealer. Now, you're probably all familiar with what invisible fencing is today, but I can tell you what, this was 2 years into the business, nobody ever heard of invisible fencing. So I spent a vast amount of my time during customer acquisition to find new customers for this new product that was out there. I did that for a number of years. After their patent was about ready to expire, the company said, Steve, you're either going to have to do this full-time, because I did it as a side hustle, or we're going to have to go ahead and take that franchise away from you. I knew I couldn't make the same kind of money I was making, even though I'd probably gone from about 60 to about 40 employees at this time, and I said, listen, I got to look for another avenue to kind of leap off this boat. I began to write a business plan to basically outsource the department that I worked for at this computer company. Ultimately, about 18 months later, after laying many seeds out there, one of them began to bloom, and somebody said, hey, we're thinking about doing this outsourcing experiment. Would you be interested in participating? I mean, literally, I had already had the business plan written. I literally sent them my resignation. My boss had flown from back east out here, laid off my employees. I sat in the tailgate of my truck as they walked out. I hired about 10 of my old employees, and we were working there, you know, the next Monday. We grew that business. After approximately about 3.5 years, I'd say, I was approached by a publicly held company and asked if I was in the market to be acquired. And of course, I was always ready to be acquired. I always built my businesses that way. They in turn acquired my business, hired me as a vice president of operations. We built that business from about $8 million to $32 million in the next 18 months. That's basically what you can do during the dot-com era, when revenue was the only thing that we cared about and we didn't care about profit. At that point, that company was approached by another publicly held company because they employed half of the XML engineers on the planet, and they were interested in the product side that they had, not the $32 million service business that I had. At that point, I agreed to reacquire my company and one of the other companies that we had purchased as part of this growth cycle that we had made, because I just had been paid essentially from my acquisition. I then in turn worked on making that business profitable. I sold that business to a private investor who was leaving out of California, was moving here for a lifestyle change. And quite frankly, I was 42 years old. I really wasn't in a position to really have to work for money anymore. And ever since then, I have been saying, listen, if I can do this and I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, there must be something to understanding these lessons. So since the last 15 years, I've pretty much been a student of small business, understanding what it is. I've been mentoring here or counseling here for the last 15 years. One would argue I kind of make a profession out of being a civic entrepreneur, if you will. Over the past number of years, I've researched many different topics, gone out there and run huge numbers of experiments, and I've authored probably 10 books on various aspects of business, one of them being this Business Model Canvas.